Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
No games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin. I'm Mike McGiver, alongside Coach Tom Swiddle. He's the associate head coach at Arrowhead, Tom Swiddle. Hey, Coach, before we get to Doug Sarver, you know, a number of years ago on the Big Show, they had a poll who your favorite college football team is. And Wisconsin took first, Michigan State was second, and University of Arrowhead took third. Just so you know, Coach Swiddle. Just so you know what you're
getting. I wasn't aware of that poll, Mike.
Just so you know what you're getting into. They took third, and I don't know, I think Nebraska took fourth and Michigan took fifth, but Arrowhead took third in that poll. We are now joined by a past president of the WFCA, and he's an all-around good man, I got to tell you. He is also the chairman of the All-Star Game, and I'm a big fan of his. He is Doug Sarver. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm good. Good morning, Mike and Tom.
Hey, Doug. We talked to Tony Biola and John Hoke and Charna and Dan Brunner, and boy, there's just, you know, a lot going on right now. That a lot of moving parts with what you guys at the WFCA are you know, trying to keep going and trying to make sure that we can maybe make some adjustments. And I think what we want to talk to you mostly about is the All-Star Game. And the thing that if that needs to be rescheduled or canceled, where are you in that process right now?
Well, Mike, there's just so much uncertainty right now, and not just around our All-Star Game, just around in the world itself.
Sure.
That it's hard for us to make any decisions. We will wait and see. We figure we have a timeline somewhere late May to June 1st, a deadline on where we're going to have to make a final decision and see where we are at. A lot of it is not in our control. The things that are in our control, we will have prepared and ready to go. The things that are out of our control, like any type of government orders or university shutdowns, those are the things that we have to find out in late May and or early June.
Hey, Doug, one thing that I would encourage people is if these players, because again, they don't know exactly what's going to go on for the game. If they reach out to you, the game is right now supposed to be held July 18th at Titan Stadium. But if you see on Facebook or some of these players start to reach out to say, hey, look, I'm raising money for Children's Hospital, you know, a big part of this, and I, for me personally, the biggest part of what this All-Star Game does is it introduces people from Children's Hospital to these student-athletes and their families. And the people that are involved and the amount of money that's raised for Children's Hospital, I would encourage people to still continue to donate for that, correct?
That's correct, Mike. We did extend our fundraising timeline to June 1st. Children's Hospital sent out a letter to all the players and coaches this week to extend it to June 1st. Let me make one thing. It's not Children's Hospital anymore. It's Children's Wisconsin. They've
got
a name change here in the last few weeks, and we got to remember that. I have trouble sometimes remembering that. Children's Wisconsin. And as of right now, the fundraising is continuing. We want to try and ramp that up. And as soon as we get closer to a date of knowing what we're going to do for sure, I'm sure we'll ramp it up even more.
So, Doug, you've answered some of the questions that I think people, you know, certainly have on their minds in regards to the All-Star Games. And, you know, one of the things, Mike, that has been so helpful with this whole process is, you know, Doug being the chairman now for just years, he's got everything down to a science. And there's a timeline for everything. And, you know, if it's February 1st, this is what's going on with the All-Star Games. So, you know, a question that I have for you, Doug, is given sort of the, you know, what's going to be ultimately happening with the All-Star Games, masked with the normal order of business that goes on with the All-Star Game thus far. I mean, what has changed? What have you had to sort of, you know, besides what you just mentioned, but, you know, what other things have you had to change leading up to the games because of this coronavirus?
Well, right now we're just staying in contact with all of our partners in the All-Star Game. That's number one. Just kind of keeping the communication lines open there so they know what we're thinking and what we're waiting for. There's so much uncertainty now, right now, Tom. It's hard to pinpoint anything. One of the things, obviously, as I just talked about, is extended timeline for the fundraising. I think they're over 100,000 in fundraising so far for the games. So hopefully we can continue to raise that amount and get that done. But just communication with all our partners right now, because there's just too much uncertainty to tell them anything definite.
Right. And, you know, you did mention decisions made by universities. Has Whitewater or Oshkosh, which hosts the South and the North teams, and, of course, Oshkosh, the game is played at UW-Oshkosh, have they given you any information, or has there been any communication with you from them as to?
I've stayed in contact with both Kevin Bullis and Pat Cerrone by email. I also talked to Pat Cerrone on the phone. You know, they're looking at, they have summer camps and events at the University of Oshkosh and University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. So they're hoping to get those in, and that'd be a good sign for us. If their summer events and camps are still going to start at some time in June, that's a good sign for us as far as the All-Star Games. But we need those universities. That's the one thing that we don't have control of.
And you would think, Doug, you would think if you know, with these kids and when they get together for that week, and that's a big part of this, you know, they're spending that week in the dorms, and, you know, safety obviously is first. We want to make sure that everybody stays safe, and until they can commit to allowing you guys up on campus, you really can't make decisions on this until they come to you and say, hey, we're either good to go or we're not. And you had talked in the beginning of our interview, what is kind of your deadline and timeline on this thing?
Well, we're thinking that people don't realize we have to get uniforms made. Ripon Athletic donates the uniforms. They said that they can get that done if we let them know by June 1st. We also have awards and Empire Photo that they all have to get ready for what they do for the games. Also, we have the Oshkosh Convention Center that holds a banquet of over 1,000 people. You got the universities that are going to have housing and meals. We have transportation with buses up in Oshkosh and from Whitewater to Oshkosh. So there's a lot of things that have to fall in place, but we think we can get that all done yet after June 1st.
Wow. Again, just like the clinic, all these moving parts to the All-Star Game. It's not like it just happened. Much planning that's involved in this, and you know, so many different people having to connect with one another to make sure that this is a smooth functioning thing. And boy, I hope a decision is made well before June 1st for you, Doug. That, you know, because I can't even imagine if the decision is made on June 1st. You know, having to coordinate all those things.
Yeah, that would be the best case scenario for us. The earlier, the better. So the June 1st is kind of the late deadline. That's where we feel that we can still get everything done for the game if we know by then. But anything earlier than that would be great.
Doug, just another question, and not necessarily tied to are we going to have the games or not, but just in general, what new things are on the docket this year with the All-Star games? I know there's, you know, things that are added or, you know, different things that, that happened that maybe didn't happen the year. Any things that were going to be a little different this year for the All-Star games?
I don't see a lot of things different than what we've done. It's been so successful, you don't try to mess with it too much. But we do have a new person in charge of the Children's Hospital part of it. Nicole Johnson is now in charge from Children's Hospital. She's been great to work with, and she is out there really trying to ramp up the fundraising. This will be her first year, so she's learning as she goes, and we're trying to help her through that. We have some things with the Friedert Athletic Training Medical College. They are going to do both sites now. Bellin, one of our longtime partners, has pulled out, and Freighter is going to do both Whitewater and Oshkosh campuses and provide the athletic training teams for that. So there's a lot of things, and I like to tell the players and the families that this will be the best experience of their lives to this point in their life, and hopefully they'll get the opportunity to experience that.
And boy, Doug, can I echo that. I mean, I look back at my two times that I coached the South All-Stars, and both are just so, so special, and it was something that I'll never forget. And I'm, you know, keeping my fingers crossed that coaches and the players who are scheduled to be a part of it this year get that opportunity, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're hoping for the best, Tom.
Hey, Coach, before we let you go, I'm checking in to see how Jeff Wallach is doing, the head football coach at St. Francis. He's gone through some pretty tough medical things here lately, but it looks from following him on Facebook that he's doing okay. He's a tough guy.
Yeah, Jeff went through some medical procedures lately that very serious medical procedures, and he has come through it very well. He's home resting, and he'll be resting for a little while, but is anxious to get back into school and to football. And one of the things you want to know about Jeff is that nothing's going to knock him down for too long. He will be back from this and better than ever.
Yeah, he is. He's a positive man, and he's got a strong faith base to who he is, and a really good family that has surrounded him. And not only his immediate family, but certainly the football family and the St. Francis family. And a lot of prayers gone out to Jeff Wallach. And again, looking at Facebook, he's still smiling and still talking a little smack, which is exactly where I need him to be. So, you know, Doug, thank you so much. Doug Sarver, good luck. If there's anything that we can do to continue to promote, making sure that people will donate to Children's Wisconsin, and this All-Star game, because again, it's you know, if they decide at, you know, May 15th or May, you know, 28th that look, this is a go, things just going to have to move pretty quickly, and we need people to be very nimble to be involved in this thing, and maybe some guys and coaches around the state that haven't been involved helping and volunteering and helping Doug Sarver and this entire board and chair of the All-Star game. You know, this would be the year for you to call him and say, hey, look, do you need anything? Can I do anything to help? It would really benefit, I think, not only these kids, but Children's Wisconsin, and it would take some of this off Doug's plate as we get closer, because all the timeline that he has now, that he normally has, is going to get shortened, and he could use the help. Doug Sarver, thank you very much.
Absolutely, Mike, and thank you. Stay healthy.
Yeah, you got it. That is Doug Sarver. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, Matt Binsfield. He's the head coach at Kekauna, and he's the WFCA Grant Committee chairman. We're going to talk to Matt on the other side. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern with my co-host. He is Tom Swiddle. He is the associate head coach at Arrowhead. He's also a WFCA Hall of Fame member and the past president of the WFCA. We're now joined by the head football coach at Kakana. He is Matt Binsfield. He's also a part of the WFCA Grant Committee. Hey, Matt, how you doing today?
Doing great.
Man, really, appreciate a few minutes of your time. And with all the guests that we've had on from the WFCA so far today, the last 3 weeks, I'm sure that your life is on the committee for the WFCA, the Grant Committee, has really changed a little bit.
Yeah, we've had some major changes that we've all had to adjust to. And just obviously the Grant Committee was a small part of it in terms of our lives. But we're in a tough spot this year where it doesn't look like our committee is going to be able to proceed and that we're going to be able to offer the grant this year with everything else we've had to cancel. So that's been difficult because it's such a great opportunity and it's such a good thing for kids in the state. But that's been tough news that we've had to swallow.
Yeah, and getting back to something, Mike, that we talked about with Dan Brunner, you know, obviously the clinic is, you know, something that we count on yearly in order to, in some respect, fund the events and activities and things that we do throughout the year. And the cancellation of the clinic put, you know, a lot of things in peril. You know, last year, Mike, we had 42 schools that were awarded the WFCA grant to the tune of over $96,000.
Wow.
I mean, we helped schools purchase AEDs to tackling dummies to Pro 3 solutions. So, you know, it was last year a great start to the WFCA grant. And we did budget $60,000 this year for the grant. But with the uncertainty of how, you know, finances are going to be over the it was just felt that we just couldn't follow through with the grant as planned. Now, you know, and Matt, you know, as a part of the committee, along with Steve Liga, Don Kenzior, and myself, and the amount of planning that goes into this thing, like all of these events is, you know, there's a lot of planning that goes into this decision to make for us to sort of, you know, decide not to do it. And Matt, I'm wondering if you could just talk a little bit about the process this year. We did have some changes that we had planned and, you know, what we learned from last year. And moving forward, the plan is certainly to have the grant next year. Maybe, you know, for the coaches out there, talk a little bit about some of the new parts to the grant.
Yep. It's a really streamlined and easy process for coaches to apply. And like you said, we had, I think it was 96 applicants we had 42 last year. I'm sure we'll have something similar when we get this going again, but it's really easy to apply. At the clinic, the plan was for this year, and I'm sure it'll play out the same way next year. The plan was to send out a Google link to a Google form where coaches could fill it out probably in, you know, 10, 15 minutes or so. Just some basics of contact information. We try to understand what the school's yearly school budget is for each program because we try and prioritize to meet the needs of the schools with the highest level of need with these grants. So we try and get a snapshot of what that looks like. And then basically just lay it out for us. What are you looking to add to your program and how is it going to impact kids? We offer grants up to $3,000 in this process. And to be honest with you, I think it's going to be really, really a good process. And I think coaches are going to like it. Our coaches that applied last year and got a grant, got the full amount that they were asking for, have a 3-year wait until they can apply again. But we have done less than $3,000 as well. So it's just as simple as filling out a Google form after the clinic. And I forget the cutoff date. Tom will probably correct me, but I think it's right away in April. And again, this will be planning for next year's clinic now. But it's pretty straightforward and pretty easy and really good for kids.
We were talking,
and Mike, one of the things that Matt did that I was so impressed with is he came up with the online form. You know, we learned some things. Last year, coaches could do it either a written form and mail it in, or they could do it online. And we found that that was difficult for, you know, the four members of the committee to keep up with all the different applications that were coming in. So Matt made the suggestion of just doing it online and came up with a form. And as he said, it's a simple form to fill out. You know, another thing that we talked about is making sure that the head coaches only. Now, you have to be a WFCA member in order for your school to apply for the grant. And we had a couple situations last year where we had directors and coaches filling out the forms. And we had, as I mentioned, a couple situations where we got two applications from schools, and one filled out by the AD and one filled out by the coach, and they weren't the same. So, you know, we've done some things to make it the committee, to streamline the process, and, you know, we certainly were fired up to get that thing out again this year. Now, Matt, one of the things that we ran into last year is some of the requests for the grant were for things that we really didn't that the grant was intended for. You know, the key words are, you know, we want to enhance and supplement a school's budget. And, you know, we talked about the number of schools that applied and requested help with buying helmets and shoulder pads. We've kind of cleared that up this
year. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's a really good thing, is that, you know, the way I look at it, the distinction is it's not a grant for survival purposes. I mean, if a community and a school decides to sponsor football, they're going to need to provide helmets and shoulder pads, and we're not there to upgrade which type of helmet you get versus another helmet and things like that. So it's really the above and beyond creative extra things you can do for kids, and not the basics you need to offer a football, you know, program. So
we are talking with Matt Bensfield, again, head coach at Kokana. He's part of the WFC grant committee. Tom, I remember last year talking about this grant that you guys came up with and how excited you were, and then doing a little research on it. And look, last year your thought was we're going to cap this off at 60,000, but because, you know, there are 64 schools that applied, 42 schools that were deemed eligible for the grant, and there's a list of the 2019 WFC grant recipients on the website. And look, schools from all over the state of Wisconsin, from Abbotsford, you know, to DeSoto, to Grantsburg, and then around in the Milwaukee area, with some schools like Milwaukee King, Milwaukee Riverside, Milwaukee Ronald Reagan, Racine Horlick, Riverdale, so all over the state of Wisconsin. And Tom, I remember how excited you were in studio to talk about this first year and how this was going to go. Not only did this meet your expectations, but it passed it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it exceeded everything that we thought we were going to do. And I have to apologize with, you know, we're doing all the show by remote, and I'm breaking up every now and then for like a second or two. So I apologize if that's, if you guys are hearing that as well. Last year, Dan Brunner made the decision that we were going to award all the schools that had applied last year. And so we bumped the total from 60,000 that we had budgeted to a little over $96,000 is what we actually awarded. And we were just so happy that it was so successful here. And I have to tell you, working with Matt and the other members of the grant committee made it really easy. You're talking about individuals who spent a lot of time and made some tough decisions in the process. But, you know, we couldn't have done it without the entire grant committee, that's for sure.
Boy, that's awesome. Hey, Matt, I really appreciate your time. And before you go, you know, we had talked with Tony Biola, and I think we talked to John Hoke as well. But as the head football coach at Kokana, are you putting together Plan B, Plan C, Plan D for the upcoming season at this point?
Boy, it's, I really have a hard time letting myself go there, because like all the other coaches, you know, football is such a part of my life. It's hard to imagine not, you know, going to the weight room first thing, you know, in June and July. So, but I mean, we're going to have to, we all have to plan. You know, I think the idea of if it gets into the summer and we have to shorten the season, I mean, that might be what we have to do. But yeah, we all have to look at it. I am still trying to stick my head in the sand a little bit and hope that this thing is going to clear up in the next month or 2 months. You know, I hate to see our spring sport athletes lose their season entirely. But yeah, it's more than likely going to look a little bit different. And I know we'll find a way. We'll find a way. Our kids love football. Our coaches love football. We'll find a way to have a season if we're allowed. So
that's excellent. He is Matt Binsfield, again, head football coach at Kakana. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, Wade LaBecchia. He is the deputy director for the WIA, is going to join us. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, and my co-host is Tom Swiddle, associate head coach at Arrowhead, also WFCA Hall of Fame member and past president of the WFCA. Before we get to Wade LaBecchia, I want to remind you to go on the Fan website. We have a Fandemonium tournament going on right now. It's 105.7 FM, The Fan. Dotradio.com, and you can vote in this poll. And there's some guys that you high school football coaches know. Ron Davies is in the poll. Joe Cook is in the poll. You can certainly vote for me. I got the sixth seat against Dan Pfeiffer, and you can go up and down. And it a lot of guys that you'll recognize. A lot of names from around the state of Wisconsin. Guys that have been in and involved in and around 105.7 FM The Fan, and it's gotten a ton of play. A lot of people talking about it, talking a little smack on Facebook and on Twitter and all that. I'm just sitting back because I know Dan Pfeiffer does a good job. We work together, and I know that Tom Swiddle works with Dan as well, so there's going to be no smack talking at all from this end, that's for sure. Hey, Tom, you know, all I want to know, and I'm going to go back and look, make sure you voted for me. That's all I want to know, Swiddle. Our next guest.
You don't
guest,
have to worry about that.
That a boy. Our next guest, you want to talk about somebody who's, man, he's been into some meetings, I bet, making some decisions. I'm a fan of the work that Wade does, and he doesn't always come on when I ask, because sometimes I want to take the WIA to the woodshed a little bit, and he's like, I don't know if I'm coming on that show. But he certainly joins us for the most part anytime we ask. He is the deputy director of the WIAA. He's Wade LaBecchia. Wade, how you been?
I've been pretty good. I'm sitting down here in Florida. I got stranded with no planes going out. So it's been an interesting 3 weeks here.
Man, have you been there for 3 weeks?
Well, we started, you know, with the coronavirus in the beginning of March. And we dealt with that for 3 weeks now. No, I've been only here for only 1 week.
So and you're not getting back anytime soon, I bet.
No, I think I'm down here with my parents. We'll get back sometime after Easter.
Oh boy,
man.
Well, hopefully the weather's real nice for you.
Well, it's 84 and sunny.
But hopefully, I quit rubbing it in.
Well, yeah, but he's not
calling me when I'm down here.
He's not going to the beach or anything. He's just kind of hanging out, probably with his parents, which is good. Hey, Wade, I want to back up a little bit. I know this is the football show, but I want to talk a little bit about the decisions very quickly during the high school basketball season. I went on the air on a couple of different shows and just gave the WIA all kinds of kudos and credit for hanging in there as long as they could until it just became very apparent that they needed to shut that season down. But I really thought that was a very difficult decision for you and the people at the WIAA.
You know, it was, and like I said, we started finding out about it, you know, the seriousness of it on March 2nd, because I had gone back to
archive my emails. And Dave and I were on our way down to Madison for a meeting with the state legislators. Well, actually, there was Office of School Safety meeting that we're on. And we were discussing that, and we set up our webpage the very next day on March 3rd and started going through and putting the links on to the CDC and to the Department of Health Services and that. And we were lucky we got in our team wrestling and our hockey and our gymnastics that weekend on the 6th and the 7th. And then we started discussing it on Sunday in a conference call with the DPI and to see where they were at. And then, you know, about Tuesday, UW started talking to us about what we were going to do as far as the boys' tournament and how we were going to whittle down the attendance in that. And then our girls' tournament started right up on Wednesday, you know, with the teams traveling there. And we had another conference call with UW on Wednesday at, I think it was noon, and that's where we determined that we would allow the teams in there, the essential workers, and four tickets for each player, or 88 people for the schools, and two administrators to supervise those 88 people in the stands and from each school. By Thursday morning, that's what we were doing for the boys. By Thursday night, we were trying to go ahead and see if we could just restrict it to the teams and have everything on, you know, TV or on the streams. And we pulled the plug on Thursday night at 11 o'clock, and there was nothing we could do. UW had shut their campus down and told us we couldn't play there. We were even ready to go five different sites for each division at the high schools and play the games out if we had to, or the Green Bay. And you know, so we tried as hard as we could to maintain that season. And, you know, it was extremely disappointing, a very, very, very difficult decision to make because, you know, it does affect those seniors, as you guys were talking earlier, and they don't get to relive those memories as much. I mean, 20 years from now, everybody will be talking about how difficult it was and how they managed to pull through it. But, you know, in the immediate time period, it's very disappointing for those kids and those opportunities. And we heard from both positive and negative, I'll tell you that. You know, Thursday night was extremely negative, but, you know, we got through it. We're hoping and trying to hold on as long as we can to get the spring in. And we've batted around a lot of ideas how we can get those spring sports in, whether we do a complete regular season, no championships, or, you know, allowing the kids, the schools to play as soon as they can and as long as they can within the parameters of the season regulations. We don't believe we can go into the summer. Some people say, well, just move everything to the summer. And, you know, everybody's got weddings planned. They've got their vacations planned, and we'd be intruding into their summer and trying to prolong that. So our hope and our goal is to get something in here as soon as they clear it. But, you know, it's looking difficult, as you were talking earlier, hoping we can even start the football season on time. We'll see how the heat and that during the summer might slow this stuff down. But they're also talking about another, you know, surge that will happen in the fall. So we'll leave it to that, back to the experts.
We are talking with Wade Lebecki. Tom, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Hey, so we talked to Wade about the basketball side, and certainly a lot going on the football side, correct?
Correct. I mean, there's a lot that I'm sure, and Wade, you know, mentioned that as, you know, what's going to happen come summer and the different ways maybe that you can fit in the football season. Hopefully it doesn't get changed in any way, but there's a possibility that it certainly could, you know. And you know, one of the things we're doing today, Mike, is in essence the radio show is replacing WFCA business meeting that we have every year at the clinic. Friday afternoon we roll out a lot of information for our members, and it's a pretty well attended meeting. And one of the highlights of the WFCA business meeting always is Wade graciously comes down and sort of gives state of football address to the membership. And so my hope is that you know, perhaps Wade can talk about the things that he would have talked about at the WFCA business meeting, because so much happens in the off season. So Wade, you know, where do we start? I mean, you know, us an idea of how the WIAA has had to react to this whole coronavirus thing and the steps you guys have done with winter and spring sports. But, you know, what kinds of things would you want to communicate to, you know, football coaches, high school players, parents? What are the things that you feel they...
Well, we have some basic rule changes, you know, at the National Federation. Remember, we have different types of rules in the WIAA, and the playing rules are developed at the national level, and there weren't any real big changes there. The biggest change, I think, is that the quarterback can now, if they're not under center, if they're in a pistol formation or shotgun, they can immediately throw the ball down on the ground to intentionally ground and stop the clock. So at the national level, it was pretty quiet year for rule changes. There's a couple little minor tweaks for mechanics and that in the rules. But I think when you look at football and where it is right now, you know, it's in a good spot. Our enrollment is still, or our participation in Wisconsin is still going down a little bit. But we are at that 9% of the overall population, of our student population. And I think, you know, coaches have to continue to go ahead and work on the kids that are in their schools to get them out and to tell them and remind them that football is safer than it ever has been, with better rules, better equipment, and a better education. That it continues to evolve, and we work with the WFCA leadership to make sure that in Wisconsin we're at the leading edge of all of that. And I think we've done a good job as a state to lead the nation in some of our rule changes, especially with player-on-player contact and safety, the acclimatization and so forth. So I think football is in a good spot. And nationally, the NFHS and USA Football have worked together, and they've come to the conclusion now that the NFHS is the leader in high school football. There was a little tug of war going on there for about 10 years, and USA Football is now going to focus on the youth football, and they're going to focus on trying to go ahead and increase participation in flag football, because that's where it's really increasing at the youth level. And I think that's important, that people understand that. In our communities, you know, right now with the concussion talk and with the talk of why football participation is down, too much of the blame gets cast on concussions. We've been dealing with concussions for quite a while. We're getting good at it. And when you realize that the reason there are more reported concussions is that there is better education and people are reporting them now. They know what the signs are and the symptoms are, and they recognize that. But I think that what got lost in that whole conversation about participation is youth football. And in my personal opinion, which may matter and may not matter, I think they were starting tackle football too young. And, you know, kids get turned off on tackle football early. They're not there for you in the high school level. And they're not there for the college people if they're not in the high school level. And they're not there for the pro level if they're not in the college level. So we have to, the biggest, largest population playing football is at the youth level. So we need to play some flag football and get the kids interested, get them enjoying it, and then slowly progress into that model where they'll put the pads on and hit each other. You can still play with pads in flag football. And I think that's important, that At the national level, we are now basically doing a pyramid, and USA Football will take the base or the foundation with youth football. NFHS will take the next level up with the high school football. And I think that's important, that we collectively have those groups working together so the sport can go ahead and be popular for the next 100 years. Remember, the most kids who participate in a sport is football. Nationwide, you have a lot of kids who play basketball, but there's only 5 on a court.
Right.
You have 22 on the court or on the field in football, and that's important that we remember that it's still the highest population or participation level in all of high school sports.
He is Wade Lebecki. He's the WIA Deputy Director. Wade, can we get you a break? Can we hold you over for one more segment?
Sure.
Excellent. We will get you a break. This is Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle, who is my co-host. Not alongside. He is at his house. I'm at my house. But I love technology, that's for sure.
Yeah,
this is the pick and
save. Somebody does.
Yeah, well, you know, the fact that I saw that you've got shorts on right now, Swiddle, that scares me a little bit, but that's all right.
Well,
this is the, go ahead.
Shorts, okay.
I mean, yeah.
not just my underwear.
Okay. I just all right. Well, all the coaches all over the state are all happy about that. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern and Tom Swiddle, who is my co-host, associate head coach at Arrowhead. And our guest, he's in Florida, 85 degrees, but he can't get back, which I just feel bad for him a little bit. He's Wade Lebecki, a WIAA Deputy Director. Hey, Wade, we had talked to a number of coaches that have been on the show about the upcoming season for high school football and wondering where you guys are at with the WI. Is it a wait-and-see thing to see where we're at in a month or two before you make any decisions on that?
Yeah, we'll go right up to the season before we make any decisions. You know, we're going to try to be deliberate, and we're going to see where the governor's office stands and where the Department of Health Services stands and the DPI and go with them. You know, we've had conference calls with several of those representatives, and I think it's important that, you know, we take this very seriously, and we be deliberate and we make smart choices. And I think that it's important for us to go ahead and give kids hope and to give them something to look forward to. That's why we haven't canceled the spring sports. We don't want to make a rash judgment and cancel that, and then the kids have nothing to look forward to. If we can get, you know, half a season in, that's great. So we're not even looking out to football. We want to get through the summer and get going on that. You know, one of the things I think that Dave sent out an email middle of last week was, you know, coaches, you can still coach. You can't instruct, but you can still give those kids positives. You can still communicate with kids and still do your team building type of exercises. And you can go ahead and encourage them. This is probably the time when the best of the coaches are going to come out, and you're going to see that. You know, you can't go in and show the quarterback how to throw a spiral or the defensive techniques for the nose guard or the defensive tackles. But you sure can go ahead and communicate with them and to give them positives while they're sitting in their house isolated and by themselves. You can still go ahead and do team building types of exercises and do build up mental and awareness of the kids and themselves and to keep building them up. You know, that's why we participate in or have kids participate in athletics. It's the benefits. Well, one of the benefits of coaching is to go ahead and build that kid to be the best they can be, character-wise as much as physical-wise. So I think that's important for our coaches to realize. Stay in touch with those kids and you know, build them up. Give them hope. Give them something to look forward to.
You know, Wade, I so totally agree with you and what you just said. I mean, it makes total, complete sense. You know, you look at the situation that, you know, we're in at Arrowhead. I mean, Matt Harris, as the head coach, you know, I've been impressed with how Matt has – you know, reached out to, I mean, we haven't even had a team meeting or anything, haven't met, you know, the parents, anything. You know? Yet, you know, you're trying to do business as usual as much as you can. And I would encourage coaches in any sport to continue, you know, doing that as much as they can and to keep everybody pointing in a positive direction forward.
Yeah, and I think that's very important, Tom. And you know, we canceled our youth football clinic up with the Packers, but the Packers have done a good job with Ryan Fensel up there and the Coaches Association, and they brought together basically almost a federation of youth football conferences, and we were slated to discuss that on the Saturday of girls basketball, which got canceled. But you know, we have to keep in mind why kids participate in sports, and you know, I throw those numbers out there, but the biggest reason that kids play sports is for fun. And the biggest reason kids quit sports is because it's not fun. And this is an opportunity to go ahead and still have those kids have hope and to try to create some sort of exercises that they can have some fun. You know, they can go out and and work on their skills on their own. Obviously, we don't want to encourage them to get together and do group stuff, but the coaches can still be a part of that, and I think that's important, and that's where we're working with the youth people to make sure that, you know, youth football is fun, that the kids will continue to play it as they progress through middle school and through high school, and I think it's important that we do some things that are going to relate to that for the kids to look forward to.
Hey, Wade, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it. Good luck getting back here, and enjoy the warm weather in Florida, but I know you're looking forward to getting back to the state of Wisconsin. So, Wade, thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Tom.
You bet.
Thanks, Wade.
Hey, Tom, a couple of things before we leave, and we've just got two minutes or so left. Want to make sure that the coaches around the state that are listening to this show understand, you know what, make sure that you get your membership taken care of. You can go right online and take care of that. You can go to the WFCA website, and I know you've all been on it, but get your membership, get everything lined up and set up. I know you guys mostly take care of this at the clinic, but now that the clinic's not there, it's important that you take care of that. And then again, with the All-Star game, they're not sure exactly what's going on, but if you have not volunteered or gotten involved with that, I know that as this gets closer, Doug Sarver and everybody who's involved with that All-Star game, and certainly the people at Children's Wisconsin, would help if you would get involved. Tom, this has been a great show, and you're kind of my guinea pig on this one. So far, so good, right?
Yeah, so far, so good. I have to figure out how to sync my phone better, that I don't cut out for a second or two every now and then.
That's okay.
We'll figure that out.
Yeah, if that's the worst thing that's happened on these 2 hours, it's really gone well. And I appreciate you being nimble and patient with me trying to figure out, you know, this whole thing. And look, we'll be better in 2 weeks when we come back together than we were this week. But man, for me it's worked out really well. And I want to thank Dan Brunner and Sharna Kelsey and John Hulk and Tony Biola and Doug Sarver and Matt Binsfield and certainly Wade Lebecki. Man, that's a group of people right there that we just talked about that do a ton for the WFCA, and I want to thank them for today's show.
I do as well. And Mike, I look forward to our show in 2 weeks.
Yeah, what are we thinking about in 2 weeks, Tom? We got a minute left here. What are we going to talk about?
Well, I want to get some of the guests that we had originally planned for today.
Sure.
On there. So, I'd like to get Chuck Rakovich, who's the coach at Chippewa Falls. He is going to receive an honor at the Hall of Fame, and he's quite an amazing guy. Does a lot of really cool things at his school.
I'd like to get
Tony Resch, one of our sponsors, on.
Yep.
You know, and
he is a good man. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And hey, we're also going to get, who's the new head football coach at Wisconsin Lutheran College.
That's awesome. He is Tom Swiddle, the associate head coach at Arrowhead. I want to thank our local Pick and Save stores. And our presenting sponsor this year, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Mitch Ross, you did a great job back at the station. Thanks a lot for listening. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.